You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 21st, 2021, the White House National Economic Council director for Joe Biden says 900,000 more Americans filed claims for unemployment because they're out of work in an economy moving the wrong direction. We got to get this virus under control and stabilize the economy. No kidding. And said the president has outlined, Biden outlined a set of decisive actions to extend unemployment insurance. And yet, there's a report from a reporter, Jake Sherman, with Punch Bowl News, saying Democrat lawmakers probably going to fail on providing another round of coronavirus relief until March, despite Joe Biden now being president, because they can't get it together as how it's going to go out, how fast, into who's going to get it. And more. They want more and more. Not just a $2,000 payout now, but $2,000 a month. In the meantime, members of the Progressive Squad already indicating we're going to push the Biden administration to the left, and we've already started. They say we need Medicare for all, and they expect it. And Bernie Sanders already pushing more left-leaning priorities. The Green Deal, Green New Deal, and others. Joe Biden did sign several executive orders yesterday, his first day in office, one being pushing back a bill signed by President Trump. And that would be immigrants from countries known by the State Department to harbor and export terrorism. 13 countries were under that ban because the State Department recognizes they were harboring and assisting terrorism. The left said it was a Muslim ban. It was never a Muslim ban. And it got upheld by a U.S. Supreme Court of 5-4. So when we're told to accept the court's ruling regarding the election or anything else in the past, you think they're going to accept this? Nope. And Joe Biden, by executive order, said we're going to lift the travel ban. And something else he did, he established what he calls the U.S. Citizenship Act of 2021. It's to keep families and communities safe. But the plan, while it mentions families 15 times, nearly everything in it refers to foreign families. None Americans already here. It does not mention jobs. It refers to American wages just one time. And with Biden yesterday calling for unity, saying this is a time for unity, to bring us all together. And yet last night in Portland and Seattle and elsewhere, rioting. 150 rioters attacking the federal immigration facility in Portland. They came armed with shields, fireworks, rockets, pepper ball guns, so federal law enforcement had to respond. Similar thing happened in Seattle, all apparently sparked by Antifa, and also attacking news crews. Dr. Anthony Fauci reassuring the World Health Organization the U.S. will remain part of that group under Biden, despite that the World Health Organization kind of let China lie to us, and we didn't know enough about the coronavirus in time when China could have told us, but they did not. And who else knows what they're hiding? But Dr. Anthony Fauci, tapped by President Biden to work with them, says we'll remain a part of it. And there's a host of UN agencies lining up applauding Joe Biden getting to the White House. They're so excited. Why? Because they expect more U.S. dollars. You know what we contribute right now? $10 billion $10 billion a year to the UN. We contribute almost a quarter of the entire UN budget, 22%. China gives 12%. Japan, 8.5%. We by far get more, and apparently we're going to get more. Oh, the new White House secretary says, we're going to work to combat misinformation with the daily press briefings. She's already been caught in one lie. I'll get to that in the next segment. And the top Democrat on the House Oversight Committee wants the FBI to conduct a robust examination of the media site Parler, see what it played in the Capitol riot. Oh, and Joe Biden has already ruined and gone against one of his own executive orders. He signed an order that on federal property you must wear a mask. Hours after that, he's on federal property not wearing a mask. Uh-oh.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
They threw rocks and water bottles at the journalists who followed, and early on even roughed up a man who followed them preaching about Jesus. The rioters also tagged buildings with slogans like abolish everything and kill ICE, and chanted Black Lives Matter as they zigzagged through the city. Police started trailing the group about 30 minutes into the march and quickly ordered the group to disperse due to all the property damage and violence being committed. That's when the arrests began. Police say the fact that they dress entirely in black makes it difficult to pick out individuals who are committing crimes, and they need to have probable cause before they start taking people into custody.
We, of course, respect people's right to free speech, and we want to let them voice their opinions and be heard, but we need to find that balance in protecting the safety of the general public as well.
That is a Seattle police officer, a PR person for the Seattle Police Department. And the report came from Seattle KOMO Television about the violence in Seattle last night. Duplicated in Portland, 150-plus in the Portland rioting. And they had some problems in Denver and elsewhere. All of this coming after Joe Biden's inauguration. All of this coming as there was absolute peace at his inauguration and throughout the D.C. Capitol. Which is a far cry from the day that Trump was inaugurated. There were marches and protesters by different groups, all chanting and yelling and saying they didn't want him and so forth. There weren't even any Trump supporters marching anywhere in D.C. They just did the right thing and stayed away. No violence there. And, of course, they had extra protection, 25,000 National Guard troops, in addition to local city state police, and they had high fences, some topped with barbed wire, because of what happened at the Capitol. And I saw that Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., had asked at one point for the National Guard to bring a machine gun. And she was told that's a stretch to do something like that. But, of course, now they don't want any military anywhere in our cities. Get them out of the way now. They were there to protect us. And that's good. But now the rest of the nation can just get by as it can. And Joe Biden, of course, yesterday, despite what we saw happen last night, and no violence during his inauguration, and none today, and the violence last night not being reported on at all by the left-stream media that I can see, and Biden spent time in his inauguration speech and later also a speech about unity.
To overcome these challenges, to restore the soul and secure the future of America, requires so much more than words. It requires the most elusive of all things in a democracy, unity. Unity. Today, on this January day, my whole soul is in this, bringing America together, uniting our people, uniting our nation. And I ask every American to join me in this cause.
You know Chris Wallace of Fox News, what Chris Wallace had to say about that entire speech, the inauguration speech, Biden's speech was, quote, the best inaugural address I've ever heard. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Does that take out JFK? Now, of course, Wallace would not have heard JFK directly, but if you compare and look at speech, I guess maybe he had never heard any others. I don't know. But we do know that those on the left were just, they were absolutely giddy the fact that he was up there being sworn in. That's right, let them celebrate, spike the ball, whatever, do a little dance, get out a felt marker and write something on the podium or whatever you want to do to show that Joe was here. And then you got CNN as to how it was handling it, and Van Jones, one of their analysts, again, somebody that was just over the top and what he saw and where we're going from here with not just the president but the press briefings and the whole ball of wax. Van Jones, CNN.
It's just mesmerizing just to watch a functional government doing functional government-type things. I mean, just there was a press conference and there was a human and the person said words and the words made sense. And then somebody asked a question and the person answered the question and they're just crying. Just, oh my God.
Oh my God. There was a person. I guess they considered Sarah Huckabee Sanders or any of the other. Caleb McEnany was not a person, not in their view. Jake Tapper, CNN, joining in, saying on one level, it's so nice to see normal press releases and normal responses. I'm going to spend some more time on this new White House press secretary and what she did and why they're just so happy with her right now. But let me wrap up this issue about unity. And Biden saying he wants unity. Unity, of course, means bringing everyone together, doesn't it? That's what it should be. At least that would be my attitude, that we bring everyone together. But there was an editorial on the Wall Street Journal saying, unity does not require agreement on one point of view. Unity does not require agreement on one point of view. But I don't think in this new left movement that's under the surface of the Biden administration and accelerating is going to accept anything but their point of view. And Congressman McCarthy, Republican of California, says if Biden wants unity, here's one thing he needs to do.
Words are one thing, but what people really look at for leaders for actions. You can say you want unity, but you cannot pretend a liberal democratic agenda is the American priority. What unity is there in closing the pipeline. You lose more jobs, energy cost goes up. What unity is there on the first day joining the Paris Accord and World Health Organization? China becomes stronger, gets an advantage over us economically, and the World Health Organization is the one who lied to us about COVID. Why would we reward that on the very first day of coming back? That's not Americans' priority. What America really wants is to get Americans back to work, get kids back in school, and get the vaccine distributed throughout the rest of the nation. Mm. That is a unity agenda, and that's the agenda that Republicans are working towards and would work with Joe Biden on.
But that's not what they want. Joe went in there with marching orders from the left. New Green Deal, new amnesty program. Do everything you can to overturn anything Trump did to keep jihadists out of the nation. Open the borders. And McCarthy just said, the people are suffering. They want some help, and they want it now. And these things you're spending all this priority on, that was all for show. It was to show Joe Biden showing that, hey, I am going to be a leader. I'm going to follow through on my promises, or at least those, so far. And by the way, speaking about vaccine distribution, Amazon suddenly came out of the woodwork late yesterday and said, you know, with our ability and our logistic capability of getting packages all around the nation, we're willing to step up and help get these vaccines distributed faster, better, and so forth. They were talking to the Trump administration 8-9 months ago about being involved. And Trump had said, hey, I want all the leaders of major corporations, any ideas, so forth, come in, help us out. But they never did want to step forward under the Trump administration. The moment Joe Biden takes the oath, they suddenly say, we're here to help. And, of course, now we have a new White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, P-S-A-K-I, but I think the P is supposed to be silent. And she stated, there are a number of ways to combat misinformation. One is accurate information and truth and data and sharing information even when it is hard to hear. And that was in response to one of the very tough questions she got from the White House press corps, wink, wink, yesterday. So here's the question from one of the, quote, reporters. Here's your softball, Jen. Swing away.
Your role is sort of in terms of delivering the best information to the American people on behalf of this White House. The battle for truth may be as tough a fight right now as is the battle against coronavirus. How do you and President Biden plan to combat disinformation that in many ways led to that assault we witnessed 2 weeks ago today on the Capitol?
Well, I think, Peter, there are a number of ways to combat misinformation. One of them is accurate information and truth and data and sharing information even when it is hard to hear.
That is hard to hear, so that we're going to be truthful with you. And she got another tough question. She was asked about what color does Biden prefer Air Force One to be on the inside? Or even Air Force One, what color scheme does he like? And she said, well, I have not had that discussion with – well, of course she shouldn't. That, where does that come into the standing of anything at this point in this nation? But it was asked, and she said, I haven't discussed it with her. I'm sure she hasn't. She was a CNN pundit. You do know that. If not, let me remind you. She left CNN to become a senior advisor for the Biden-Harris team, later named press secretary for the team. And you heard her answer about being honest in going forward. And here she's saying, I'm going to be truthful with you. Well, she's already giving some information that's not exactly correct when she ties Trump to the Capitol event in ways that don't exist. But who's going to question? Come on. She also made it clear, I'm so glad to be here, and that is because I know I'm in the midst of those who love me. Then you got Nicole Wallace, over at CNN, talking about the GOP truth versus true truth.
It would be my policy that a Republican must assert the truth before they're allowed to share any other views. If we can protect against counterfeit dollar bills, we should be able to protect against fake news that we now know has the potential to kill people as it did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So they're going to determine if you're telling the truth, you're a GOP member, you tell the truth, we'll put you on our program. I said CNN. She's with MSNBC. And again, for them, it's a matter of what they think is important, not what the American public need or anything else. And Nicole Wallace, again, talking to one of her guests, Ben Rhodes, of course, who had previously served in the Obama administration as a national security advisor, she raised a question about how the truth got twisted by the GOP all the time.
Talk about the extraordinary damage that this culture of disinformation and echo chambers that repeat the lies have done, and how this new team is poised to take that on.
Well, look, it's the big issue in American politics that people will believe things that are just not true.
Now, that is Ben Rhodes, as I said, who was in the Obama administration, and she mentioned the word echo chamber. He is the one who said he came up with the word echo chamber when he was serving in the Obama administration, saying a lot of these reporters are young, they don't know anything. I can tell them something, next thing I know it's being echoed and repeated here and there, laughing, like on that the Iran deal would be good for us. She dared ask him about echo chambers, and he's the one who came up with it. And, of course, what Trump said yesterday is shaking some Democrats.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve. Our communities will flourish. Our people will be prosperous. Our traditions will be cherished. Our faith will be strong. And our future will be brighter than ever before.
Those are the words of President Trump the other day, and that message is still resonating and frightening to many Democrats. This guy could come back around again. What are we going to do? That's why the impeachment push going now to the Senate is so important to some of them. They think if they do that, then he would never be able to come back in. And others are saying, look, that you're, why bother? You're just making a bigger thing at this point. Well, we'll see what they do. But his words, as he also added, we will be back in some form, has a lot of Democrats shaking. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, was asked in an interview, what about Trump running? What do you think he should do if he's going to run again? Or what do you think, should he run again?
I think the first thing he needs to do is take a little time to himself. He's going to be a potent force in the Republican Party. I hope he will help us take back the Senate and regain control of the House. That's really, I think, the first step for him and all of us. But if he does run again, I think there will be a lot of support in the party for him.
I think so, too. And in fact, Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee was also asked about it, about him running again. He said, what would be his slogan if he runs again? And Huckabee said, well, it's going to be America first. He said it was evident through his campaign, his presidency. This is a president that never apologized for America, as we saw Obama do. And I'm not quoting Huckabee on that. That's my statement, but we know the fact. Huckabee did also add, I often said during the campaign of 2016, you'd go into a Waffle House, see four guys sitting around drinking coffee, kind of huddled in close where no one else could hear them. They were talking about things that people really believe in. Then Donald Trump would go to a podium and microphone and basically repeat what they were saying. Huckabee again saying, I think a great point is that his message and the principles of building the country and putting American people first isn't going anywhere. Isn't going anywhere. Well, of course, as I was pointing out, what we also have to battle with now is the state-controlled media as they go into these news conferences and come out with stupid question-answer things and doing all they can to just fawn over the new administration. CNN head of communications on watching the fireworks that capped off the Inauguration Day events stated, this team really understands optics. These images will inspire our friends and shake our foes. By shooting off fireworks? Isn't that a real stretch? Not in the view of the leftists, because again, it's praising Biden and the left. Question for you, conservatives. How are you going to survive in a post-Trump world? Coming up, a guest who's a leading historian on American conservatism.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My next guest has not been with us before, although I wanted him. It just didn't work out. He is a leading historian of American conservatism, and he's either author or co-author, editor of at least 25 different books, a distinguished fellow in conservative thought at the Heritage Foundation, also a member of the Hoover Institution, on every major network and news outlet you can find everywhere, and now on Larry Connors USA. Welcome aboard, Lee Edwards. Glad to have you.
Thank you very much, Larry. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I was doing so because I saw an article you wrote a couple of days ago for the Heritage Foundation, and you titled it, The Challenge for Conservatives in a Post-Trump World. In promoting it for the audience, I changed it a little bit, and you can condemn me for this, but rather than saying the challenge, my question is, can conservatives survive in a post-Trump world? But go ahead, sir. Your turn.
Well, yes, that's a good variation on it, and I think it works. And, of course, as you might suspect, my answer is yes, we can, particularly when you think of the alternatives. We're not going to excuse ourselves from the battle and head for the nearest mountaintop and cut ourselves off and adopt the so-called Benedict option. That's not. Because, as a matter of fact, there are lots of pluses, which I can be happy to enumerate for you, Larry, and your audience as well.
Well, let's go through, first of all, to clarify for the audience, when you say the Benedict fashion, you're talking about becoming basically a monk. And I should also point out, he has a doctorate in world politics from Catholic University, and so he knows of what he speaks. But you're talking about that we can't just go off and isolate ourselves. We've got to stay involved, right?
Exactly, right. And there's no reason for us to do that. There are plenty of pluses. There are plenty of things that we can do, starting with the fact that there were 73 million people who voted for Donald Trump. And, you know, you can build a pretty good movement with 73 million people.
But the problem they're facing going forward, as we talk about some of the options that are on the table, they are battling an administration that has always been supported by the left-wing media, the mainstream media, which now is becoming more a state-controlled media. If you watch it, how they gush over Biden's remarks and the new press secretary, and members of CNN are populated all through this new administration. I mean, we got a bigger battle than we ever did when Trump was in office.
Well, I think it's true that it's so easy to look at the glass and see it as, you know, half empty or maybe even two-thirds empty. But when I look and when I see that these various young conservatives like Ben Shapiro and others coming forward and articulating conservative principles, and I'm sure being on your program, I'm encouraged by that. When I look at things like Young America's Foundation, the Turning Point, Leadership Institute, which are turning out thousands every year of young conservatives who know of wherein they speak when they speak of conservatism and its emphasis on free enterprise and individual freedom and responsibility.
And Hillsdale,
so I think it's very important to look and at the positives and at the pluses and not to carry it away too much looking at, because right now is probably the high point, really, of the Biden presidency. But he's going to be running into all kinds of problems very soon.
And that's going to be within his own party. And you mentioned Shapiro and Charlie Kirk of Turning Point USA. Actually, Charlie's program precedes mine, and then Shapiro follows my program on this station. So they're getting a three-hour, I guess I don't fit the young conservative. So I don't know. What's the cutoff date for young? Anyway, one of the things you're pointing out about the challenge for us and that we should not despair, that we've been divided since the birth of the Republic.
Absolutely. That the Hamiltonians and the Jeffersonians were battling each other on what should be our government. How big should it be? What should be its responsibilities? And there was a battle between the so-called Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. And what came out of that, of course, was the Constitution, checks and balances, what I call ordered liberty. And that, to me, is a priceless principle, you know, Larry, that we have to make sure that we keep strengthening and relying upon ordered liberty.
I think within that also, there are those in the Democrat Party that are not that far from our views overall, but the party's been hijacked and being pushed and pulled and driven to one other side. That's Biden is already under attack because he's not acting fast enough on some things they want. They want this money on the table right now and more of it. And as you said, he's going to already be facing it. But so far, the press in general, they're going to give him a honeymoon. If the press isn't going to do its job, where are we going to find the truth?
Well, I think that's why it's so important that programs like yours are absolutely vital and necessary. And I look at, for example, things like the National Review Online, which has really become a major influence on what's happening. And there are many other, every one of those publications which I used to deal with when they were publications now are online. And they have greater audiences. And you're absolutely right, Larry, that there are Democrats on the one hand who are saying move faster, and there were Democrats on the other hand, including Senator Mnuchin of West Virginia, who say, wait a minute, slow down here. Slow down. Let's not go too fast. So the House may be one thing with that iron discipline of the Speaker, but it's a different thing in the Senate. Those are individuals who have their own minds, and I don't think they're going to be marching in lockstep as Mr. Schumer would like them to.
Yeah, and Senator Manchin had made it clear that I think we should walk away from this. So this is an opportunity for Biden to say, guys, just drop it. Go ahead and bring it in, but then dismiss it. That would be great to bringing unity to the nation as a whole. But last night, after he spoke of unity as inauguration, there were riots in Portland, Seattle, other places, Denver, and so forth. And these Antifa groups are out there shouting, we don't want Biden, we want revenge.
Exactly. And that is it's a tremendous challenge. And there's an opportunity, it seems to me, for people of both parties to come together and have a response to that. And this will be a challenge. If, in truth, the president is talking about unity, well, that takes two to unify. It takes both sides, not just one side. And he's going to have to keep in mind, he doesn't have a thunderous mandate from the people. 73 million people voted the other way. And he's not stupid. He's got to take that into mind as he's figuring out his program.
And many of those on the Trump side are still convinced that was not a fully legal election. Now, I tell folks, the game's over. You got to move on. They might someday review a play and say, yeah, it was a bad call, but it's done. What are they to do going forward? Because many of them are saying, are we ever going to get a Republican majority again or a Republican elected if the Democrats move forward with the drop of the filibuster, if they move forward with bringing in D.C. as a state and Puerto Rico, adding more Democrats, if they pack the court, what are we going to do?
Well, I think one of the things we can do, Larry, is to look at history. And one of my favorite examples, and I've had these same conversations as you have had, Larry, and that is to think what Ronald Reagan said in 1976 when he came so terribly close to winning the Republican presidential nomination. He met with his campaign staff the next day, and they were crying and weeping and saying, this is the end. He said, no, no, we lost, but the cause goes on. And then he quoted an old Scottish ballad, which you may be familiar with. I am wounded, but not slain. I shall rise and fight again. He said that in 1976. Everybody thought he was through in politics. 4 years later, won the nomination, won the presidency, and went on to change the course of political history.
Well, I do recall that when I was in high school in my senior year, I'm in Texas, mind you, and I was leading a Barry Goldwater group in 64 in Texas, which we were talking about being blasphemy in Texas for LBJ. I mean, I just stuck it all, I left it all on the field out there. But at the same time, I thought, well, you got to have you have to hear the other side, even if you don't go that way. And I'm afraid right now, so much information will be shut down. As you just listed several things that are open. But in the last minute here, if you got big tech and social media shutting down avenues that present a different view, we're isolated.
It's true. And that's one of the priorities that we're going to be having. When I say we, I mean the Heritage Foundation, for this year. And that is to take on high tech, challenge them in so many different ways, directly through our own media, but also encouraging others to take the appropriate action to make sure they cannot just silence us. That's absolutely key. I agree with you. And I see signs that can be done.
Do you think Trump is coming back? And if he does, under what guise? Former Arkansas Governor Huckabee says, if he does, the slogans of America First, it's still the fact of building the principles, the message, his message and principles of building the country are still there. In the last 30 seconds, how would you classify that?
Well, I think that's true, that there are certain enduring principles, as I say, of free enterprise and individual freedom and responsibility, traditional American values and a strong national defense. Whether or not Mr. Trump adopts, I'll put it that way, that the candidate who takes on and uses those principles, that's the one who's going to win the nomination.
All right. I want to thank you. I'd love to have you back in the future. I certainly appreciate our conversation, and thanks for joining us this time.
Be my pleasure, Larry. Take care. All the best.
You bet. Lee Edwards, leading historian of American conservatism. So there's still hope. There's still hope. But I do want to go back and tell you how the media is being manipulated from the White House already. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
1, 2, 3, they gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So once again, we're talking earlier about how this new media press secretary is just getting all the glowing praises and questions that are just softball all the way around, total softball. And you compare her and the questions she got asked to what you saw when Trump came in and the questions that they were facing Spicer. I mean, they jumped in on his first official briefing, the president campaign on a corporate tax cut, 15%, da-da-da-da. In other words, the president be me with a full body of the Congressional Black Caucus and Hispanic Caucus. Do you stand by your statements, the most watched inaugural address? 2016, the hottest year on record. The last 3 years, the hottest 3 years on record. What's Trump going to do about it? as the president spoke today to the intel agencies about the investigation into Russian connections. You hear all this? These are hard-line questions. And Sean Spicer had to stand out there and take the arrows. You got to be a spear catcher sometimes, which is what he did as the first press secretary, and held an unofficial briefing the day after the inauguration. And 2 days later, held his first official briefing, and there are the questions. Compare those to the ones offered for Psaki, Jen Psaki. Let me see. We heard one, the battle for truth is as tough as the fight against coronavirus. So many of these reporters, they're making statements. They're not asking a question even now. And let me see another one. There's a lot of comments about his familiarity with the Senate. Oh, yeah, he's been around there a few years. Can you talk a bit about the kind of preps the White House is getting ready for the president? Maybe some deep cleaning. Can you give us some color of what it's like going into the Oval Office? What's he going to change? Has he filed paperwork to run for re-election the same day as Trump did? Has he planned his first foreign trip? Well, if they'd been following news coverage, they'd already know, yeah, he's going to be going to G7 in UK. That's going to be, I told you that the other day. Guess they don't keep up with the news in their White House press corps. Oh, and then will he keep Donald Trump's Air Force One color scheme? Those are tough questions, right? And what does Biden plan to recover? How does he plan to recover our image around the world? As if we are damaged. Yeah, the heads of various countries have said we welcome Biden and so forth, and many of them are gushing over it as well. They're glad to have him come in because, like Iran, they look for him to not get tough with them. China's looking to go back and get some easy stuff going forward. Israel has welcomed Biden, but at the same time saying, I hope you adhere to what Trump started. And this Jen Psaki is already saying, our big work will be to combat misinformation. We're going to give you facts. We're going to give you facts. Well, in her own statements, in her own press conference, she talked about President Donald Trump's travel ban on terror-prone countries was a Muslim ban. It was not. She was referring to Biden on one of his executive orders filed that he signed off yesterday, lifting that ban of some 13 countries that, according to the State Department, were hotbeds for terrorism. He did not stop all Muslim bans because Muslims are all around the world in other nations, just those particular ones. And the Supreme Court upheld the fact that he could do so. Don't let the facts interfere with a good story, right? And again, like I said previously, she had former Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes, or rather she didn't, but MSNBC had him on, and they're talking about this, what are we going to do about this echo chamber that pushes false stories? And does she not know that Ben Rhodes, under Obama, coined that phrase in an interview he did with let me see, what was the publication? I have it here, and I'll find it in a moment. He, in an interview with a major magazine, he used a phrase and said, all these reporters, they don't really know anything. They're young. They can't figure things out. So I can just say something. They run out there and report it. It's an echo chamber, and I love it. They go out there and just duplicate whatever I say, an echo chamber. The New York Times noted that Rhodes is a published short story writer, an aspiring novelist who's a skilled storyteller. That was when he was then in the Obama administration. And the assault and the pressure upon conservative talk, be it this program or anywhere, will continue. A left-wing group that claims to represent true Christian values, launching a petition asking for Franklin Graham to lose his job because he supported President Donald Trump. Faithful America, they call themselves. And Graham had said, I tend to believe there was fraud in the 2020 election. And they said, for that reason, he should be removed. Franklin Graham is blasphemed and carried out Trump's big lie. We need to get rid of him. So far, the board of directors at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association say we still fully support Franklin Graham. Good. But because he said that, they claim he should be ousted. Because you question it, you could be in danger. And I know some folks have already taken Biden signs off their car or anything else. I mean, Trump signs, because they're fearful they will become victims of some attack. Please remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.